Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au.
We all love a good Sunday session.
Frothy time!
Oh. And this Sunday session comes to you.
Oh, how good!
This is the Rush Hour Sunday session.
The best of JB and Billy
on Triple M.
Today's Sunday session is about royalty, Fat.
That's it, Jim. We speak to cricket royalty, Ricky Ponting, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
And Adelaide footy
royalty,
Bernie Vince.
Plus, someone whose royalty in Barwon Heads shows up as well.
Oh, not that stupid Flog Todd. I'd love to squash him, Jim.
And Australian music royalty gets a look in as well with our idiot song.
And I'll finish it off with a magnificent joke.
Is it a royal joke?
Oh, King Binns is back.
Oh, my God. Bernie Vince is next on the Sunday session.
229 games and 113 goals.
Bernie Vince, who set sail from downtown Barnard.
Now he's back on Triple M Footy.
Back where I should be, where I started.
One of the Rush Hour's favourites, Bernie Vince.
Well, speak for yourself, Rabbits. We've had to quarantine him. I said it off the top. We've had to give him a little spell.
That's it, Jim.
Because we let him have a Saturday afternoon experience.
And what happened, Jim?
Well, it just became a bit of a runaway train. He got a bit bloody ahead of himself.
A bit like Howie.
So we just had to say, Bern, you go over there and you just sit quietly and we'll let you back in when we get a feeling that you've got a bit of humility about your act, Bernard.
Well, when's that feeling coming back, Jim?
Not at the minute.
I'm happy over here.
Oh, no, you're... Very happy.
I can walk around the streets. I can play golf if I want to and get a haircut, whatever.
Yes.
I can do. Yes. Not that you miss out on that one, but anyway.
No, exactly. And just not over in Adelaide. We sent him to the farm.
Well,
how was the farm?
Stansbury.
Nah, very, very good over on the farm. Hey, so Jim, you're a golfer. I played golf with my old man who hit some, he's just bunts him down the middle, not too bad. And I played with another mate. He's a very good cricketer and usually hand-eye. Helps you out. His name's Adam Pitt, right?
Yes.
Oh, Pitty.
What's the most you've ever or seen a player you've played golf with have on the golf course stroke round?
I've played with some that have comfortably got into the hundreds.
155.
No.
No.
155.
Come on, Pitto.
Oh, mate, he was losing balls. He was borrowing balls, stealing my clubs. I could not believe it. That ruined my week off, actually.
Where were you playing? Royal where?
Royal Port Hughes.
Port Hughes?
The only course with greens on it on the York Peninsula. So we just made our way up there and, geez, it was a long day.
Oh, 150.
Enjoying my time off.
No, I did play in the wind, it has to be said, and the wind was coming. I played with Brendan Julian, Bernard.
Oh, yeah.
Another Bernard.
Yeah.
Who hit the ball behind the tee markers.
No.
How does that happen?
Behind point.
He did not.
The ball ended up going behind where we were standing.
So
it's the single funniest thing I've ever seen.
Everyone walks forward and he went back.
No, well, mate, he's lost ball. He had to go again. But we stood there and looked. And Blue, he was playing. We'll get to him in a second. I said, that's gone behind the tee-pegs.
What is that? Because normally it's a jug of beer if you don't make the ladies. What's behind the tee? I've never
heard. Yes. Now, Bluey.
Oh, no.
My man.
Friday night, he's doing.
Well, I heard this the other day in the broadcast.
Oh, no.
Let's head to Greg Blewett for Bob James Seabass.
Got nothing for you, mate.
Get on your Bluey. Oh, honesty is
now, surely he didn't realise he was on air and he was talking to someone next to him about something. That couldn't have been him talking into a microphone, surely.
He is just a small percentage of the man that I first met back in the day. One of my favourite cricketers growing up. He can actually speak, Jim. That's the problem.
He can.
But now he's just cocked so many things up. He's just decided not to speak anymore. He doesn't want to say anything because he can't.
Take,
I don't know if the pressure or
from experience,
is.
Just keep on keeping on, I would say to Greg. You're his good mate. Do you ring him up and say, Bluey, how you going? What's happening? What's going on with you?
No, I've had to drop off him.
Yeah, what?
No,
Jim,
I can't align the juggernaut brand that I have,
Jim,
with that crap.
You've dropped off one of your good mates.
Well, Bill.
Yeah, that's not a mate.
You can't say I've got nothing.
Well, he did. He did, Jim. He just had nothing. I know how he felt, but probably could have said something. But
he's always been conditional, haven't you, Jim? Selective
Bernard,
with your friends.
I can only lift so much. And then in the end, blokes have got to make their own way. Fat. Yeah,
well, exactly.
Fat's exhausted me over 10 years. I've had to carry the fat bucket.
11.
11. How's it got to 11?
And Bill's trying to give advice to Bluey as well, which is probably not where you'd go for advice.
No, that's the last thing Bluey needs.
No,
is any advice from Bill.
I think he should, because I understand how he feels sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes
how is that?
Well, it just doesn't click in your head. So you're on air or you're on the boundary, they throw to you and you go, oh, shit, what am I going to say? I've got nothing.
Well, you've got to say something, dude. Just make it up. Talk about the weather. Talk about.
Oh, well, I didn't say it. Thank God, because I haven't been on the boundary.
No, we never put Bill on the boundary for very, very good reason.
Oh, end up in the bar.
Exactly.
I'd talk
Andrew
to knackers.
Jarman did that. Andrew Jarman did that once. He was on the boundary. And he lost reception from his little remote thing with his aerial because he was in the bar.
He went to the bar.
Good idea. Good on you, Jars. Anyway, I'd say another couple of weeks over in the farm, Jim. Him and Pitsy.
What, just to fatten up again, Bill?
Fatten up and put you off the market. We might sell you K-Rock or Bay FM or something.
Bay FM.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session. Pouring out the gold from JB and Billy on Triple M.
Now, what do you got for us?
Well, Melbourne, of course, came storming home in that game Saturday night. They were down at the Cattery.
I turned it off.
They're playing against Geelong. They're 44 points down. Geelong have rattled. They put 8 on them in a row. And so all of that stuff was quite extraordinary. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, they came flying home.
And your point is?
Like, that's like being 8 lengths back.
Mm-mm. 32 points at three-quarter time, Jim.
That's 8. Well, 7 lengths.
7, that's, yeah.
Yeah, 7 lengths.
We've spoken about it, Jim.
At the Valley.
Move
where it's not that big a straight, and you still manage to. That's Kingston Town-esque.
Shut. You wouldn't know anything about a horse.
Kingston Town.
Shut up with your horse,
gone
buddy.
At the turn
stuff.
And got over the top to. Anyway, so we've got a call on the line. I think it's Max joins us from Melbourne.
Oh, Max.
Yeah, Max.
Oh,
no. The big kick to finish. Max.
Yeah, g'day, gents. I've just got a phoner idea for you, actually. When have you blown a 44-point lead? Unusual, it's Todd from Bowen Hill.
Oh, yes.
Seconds to go. You're still in front. You got one hand on the minor premiership, home qualifying, prelim finals on the line, and the whole team forgets Max Gawn exists. He's the tallest bloke out there, Bill. He takes an uncontested mark in the goal square on the siren. How does that even happen? And you know what? I've got a theory, Bill. What? I reckon they blew it on purpose. Geelong's the only joint in Australia where going to Adelaide's actually a step up.
Yeah.
So I reckon they just wanted to get out of there for the finals. They just wanted to trip with the boys. They learned how to choke from you, Bill. Port by 12 goals on the weekend.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, he's hung up.
Off.
Oh, he's gone.
Good. What a flog.
They learned how to choke from you, Bill. He reckons.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session. Back soon with more from JB and Billy.
Oh, and by the way, it's your round.
Triple M. Our next guest has 41 Test centuries, the most of any Australian cricketer.
There it is. 41 Test hundreds for Wiki Tonkin.
And we've been massive supporters of his for ages.
He's only won us 3 World Cups.
2, Bill.
He's only averaged 60 against the fastest bowlers in the world.
52.
Jim, shut up, you freak!
Please welcome Ricky Ponting.
Well, he did win a couple of those World Cups close to off his own bat, but when I look down at the resume, it actually annoys me, so I don't go through it anymore. 168 tests.
Yeah.
Which, I tell you what that is, Bill.
Yes.
Greedy.
No.
Well, some of us didn't get to play any. Well, he gobbled them all up.
Some were better than
he
others.
He took them all for himself.
And this is good bowling in these days, Jim.
No, it was. No, he's a star. Punter, welcome to you.
Good on you, boys. How you going?
Now, we've got lots to discuss with you, but let's start with footy, of course, because you're a massive Kangaroos butt footy fan, and you've been stuck at home, so you've been watching every single game. Firstly, how did you see your Kangas this year?
Yeah, every single game and on replay during the weekdays as well. So I've been watching, I've got my fair footy feel. There's no doubt about that. How do I see the Kangaroos? First 6 or 7 games of the season, I thought, God, where on earth, what are we doing here? Where are we going? Where's this football club going?
Yep.
And then all but probably the last game, I just watched every game with a massive smile on my face. I think you know, the progression of some of the younger players, the game plan, the style. David Nab was obviously a very good teacher because it seemed like they stuck to the game plan right the way through the back half of the season. And I think at the end of the day, it was, I think a lot of people have said it, probably the best wooden spoon team that's there's ever been. That's how it sort of looks. So there's a lot of upside, I think, going forward for the next couple of years.
Wow, a bit of light at the end of the tunnel there. A couple of questions, punter. JL, under the pump last couple of weeks. Good to see Cricket Australia come out and said they're backing Justin Langer, of course. Passionate, honest. Was he maybe too honest and passionate to some of the younger players or not?
Oh, look, I don't think you can be too honest. I don't think you can be too passionate. I just think, and especially when JL took over, if you wind the clock back 3 years, cricket in Australia was in a pretty dire situation, wasn't it, on the back of Sandpaper Gate. And there was some talks about, you know, some of the attitudes and disciplines around the team were nowhere near what they needed to be for an Australian cricket team. So he came in and didn't change himself. I mean, he just came in and coached the way that he needed to coach that team. And, you know, the majority of it, I think they've done exceptionally well. They've had some really good results. Sure, the last, you know, last summer was ultra disappointing to not be able to win against India at home with the team that India had on the park. I mean, that was a bit of a stab in the heart for Justin and all the players, I'm sure. But, you know, and I've, you know, JB and I've spoken a lot to him over the last couple of weeks. It's been a difficult period for him. There's no doubt about that. And he's poor bugger's been locked up in quarantine in Adelaide as well, and had, you know, fending off articles every other day about him and his coaching and whatever else. But and you're right there. The thing that disappointed me the most about it was that how long it took Cricket Australia to hear from anybody. I mean, imagine if that was the Richmond Footy Club and Dimmel was getting, you know, negative articles written about him every day. I don't think it would have taken him weeks and weeks for someone to stand up and say, hang on, we're not accepting this, you know, but it didn't happen. So JL was sort of left to himself and his mates there for a while, but he's got through really well. But I believe, just listening to some of the stuff that Payne had to say on the weekend, I think there's been some ongoing conversations there about areas that he needs to improve and needs to get better at. And, you know, that's the sort of bloke he is anyway. I mean, if he preaches that way to the players, then obviously he's got to be willing to take that back and accept feedback. So, look, he's been a great coach for Australia and he will be for as long as he wants to be.
Yeah, good.
Right, speaking of cricket, as we let you go, the Pom's coming out, of course, Ashes coming up this summer. We need to give them a nice touch-up, punter. Not because Australia does need it with all the lockdowns and everything, but just because there's nothing sweeter than the Soap Dodgers coming out here thinking they've got a chance and then having their ass handed to them.
It's a great time on the calendar, isn't it? Whenever it's an Ashes series, and I was a young bloke growing up, all I wanted to do was play, be part of an Ashes series, and the Australians will be smartings from last summer as well. They haven't played any Test cricket since, I don't think, have they? The end of the series against India. So they need to bounce back. No one to bounce back better against than England. It's fair to say that without that day one last night, England haven't been travelling that well either. I think it looks like they're very unsettled as far as what their batting lineup's going to look like. You know, Ben Stokes not being in their side, and Jofra Archer's out now, potentially out for the Ashes as well, and with Stokes, you know, off cricket indefinitely, battling some mental health issues, I believe. We'll wait and see. But you know, let's hope it goes ahead, and let's hope we've got crowds. That's what I want to say. I want to see Ashes cricket in Australia with crowds again. And, you know, it's been a really difficult time for everyone here in Australia and around the world at the moment with what's happening with COVID. The AFL, I think, have done an incredible job to continue to push on and get through and almost unscathed again. Fantastic. And let's hope we can do the same with the cricket side of things and we get some people watching what should be a great contest again.
Punter, you are a star. Thanks for joining us.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me.
At Triple M, we recommend you Sunday session responsibly or you'll end up like Billy.
And it was
the Rush Hour Sunday session on Triple M.
I feel good!
JB, this is one of our favourite segments.
Anything with idiot in front of it is why poor fat?
Well, I'm pigeonholed for being a idiot
and
or
idiot
fat
even. And Bill,
yes.
The thing is, you pigeonhole yourself.
Uh-oh.
Because these are things you say. We don't prompt you to say it. You just say it. Maddie cuts it up, puts it into a song.
Maddie cuts it up.
The family love it.
Brings it up from 10 years ago, Jim.
No.
When I was just starting, I was a cadet.
This is all recent stuff. You ever listen to this song? And it's, of course, one of the great songs by one of the great Australian bands.
When I was a cadet with Dan Lonigan and those guys.
You ever listen to this? This is all recent stuff
from you.
Jeez, imagine you two lined up next to each other. Not a follicle of hair on either of your heads. Here we go, idiot song.
The Nostril Mix.
Oh, so
Steve Hocking will just go in there and
if they match and then march him into the draft.
It won't happen, Jim. Both sides are amicable. And I said to him, what is going on with Aiden Corr? Where is he actually, Leon? Woke up this morning
from the strangest dream. Just tell us what happens behind the scenes.
No, we put an issue in very late. We were marching
as one. Dip Liverman again. To the Holy Grail. Any news on the volume of the noise crowd?
Oh. Yeah, have you heard about the
Great Crusader? Crowd noise, I think, is what he's trying to ask.
Oh, the crowd noise. Noise crowd, same thing. Steve-o. Yeah, we raised four corners of the globe
for the Holy Grail. You don't have to be silly, but I think you're allowed to do it.
Oh, sure.
You're allowed to do it.
Oh, no. Damo's going to put the kibosh wash on it.
Well, the what, Bill?
Oh, hang on a second. All the locals scattered.
They were hiding in the snow. Certainly Damien Hardwick. Hardwick. There'd be nothing left to plunder when we stumble on the Holy Grail. Gary Ablett.
Audiobiography.
Audio. So,
autobiography.
Plug it into you.
Steve Hocking has put out a communications broadsheet today. And
a broadsheet. You know what they say? Yeah, nobody
deserves tonight. When you turn 30, you should never ever be seen in a short sleeve football jumper.
Or sleeveless.
Sleeveless, yes. Even, Jim. A sleeveless jumper. Great supporter. They stuck thick and thin or fat and whatever it is, but they have stuck with you. I'm still here. I'm still a fool for the Holy Grail. Yes, we asked what that meant on the Sharon. It means Sharon in Arabic.
Yeah.
Arabic. 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 First time. Two big teams have played in Western Australia. Mm. Is it? I don't know. Well, don't write me questions when I don't know.
Oh, no.
Good song.
So, no, brilliant
song.
Great song. But Bill,
holy grail.
That's a nice sort of September football helping.
Just getting ready for September.
Pretty much all of that was around footy.
Do you reckon?
And there were a few that were a bit older. I think I heard Higg laughing at one of them. So that's a fair while ago.
20s, but, chicken burgers.
Well...
The Rush Hour Sunday Session. The best of JB and Billy on tap.
Yes, please.
Triple M.
JB and Billy, this is Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday Session, and we're joined by Melbourne Demons young gun, Luke Jackson.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Now, Luke, I know you know this, Bill, but people listening probably don't. Luke lives with my brother and sister-in-law, Mark and Deb.
Deb, yeah.
Now, Deb's over there in Perth because she's going over for family reasons.
Yes.
So Mark is looking after Trent Rivers.
Oh, no.
Luke Jackson. So two of Melbourne's most important.
I'm back
and
in Brisbane.
And, of course, Disco is in the resies. But the three of them are there. What sort of nick is the house in with Deb not there?
Oh, it's definitely different. I don't do my washing anyway, so there's more clothes just piled on the floor. But
What's he been cooking up for dinner, say, there, Dogger?
Oh, we had Disco was in charge of some meat a couple of nights ago that was no good. It was still pretty pink.
I hope Melbourne aren't listening, Jim. I hope Goodwin isn't.
And then last night we had some mince with just tomato, which was no good. So.
Jim, surely, Jim, that's your brother.
He's
Mark.
Got no idea. Deb is a queen of a woman, and she has run that house for 30 years.
You've had a good year, Lukey boy, and good luck with the rising star. What do you put it down to? You fitter? I see you've got a bit bigger, I reckon. You bulked up a bit.
Yeah. No, in the off-season, I focused on trying to get a bit more muscle on because I wanted to play a bit more around the ball and in the ruck, so I knew that would help a lot, but... Yeah, just trying to get fitter and stronger and, still working on that area. But, yeah, it's helping me right now, which is good. Yeah.
Bill, we went around there. How long ago was it, Luke? I reckon it was pre-season about October.
Right.
I had my two young blokes there, Fred and George.
Yes.
And I reckon it was George who asked you, Luke, what are you bench pressing? And when Luke told him, he started laughing.
Oh, no.
Didn't he?
Yeah, no. Nah.
Because at that stage, it was very low. But in the next sort of year, you've now built that up into
bloody
a strength.
Yeah, it's been built up, but I'm still working on it. So, yeah, I'll come back to you guys later.
That's all right, mate. What, how old are you? You're only 19 or something. So 20 in September 29th. Oh, that'd be a nice little birthday present a few days later. Hey, I'm just looking at a family photo of you and your mum and dad and the family there, and they're all 5'8" or 9 or 10. Yeah. And then there's big Lukey boy at 200 centimetres. Yeah, what's going on there?
I'm not too sure. I just got lucky, I guess. But apparently it's something to do with your mum's side's uncles, and I think my mum's uncles are pretty tall, so I think that might have something to do with it, but yeah.
Have a look at that, Jimmy.
It's classic. And, of course, very, very talented junior basketballer, so that shows with the spatial awareness out on the ground and everything. The other resident of that joint, Trent Rivers, he got some nice happiness with himself, Lukey boy.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Trent's gone pretty well this year as well, and he's found a partner, which is good, and selling it. So,
you seen much of him lately, or?
Me and Disco have been by ourselves a lot, quite a bit. So, I see him at training, but not
doing some of his best work.
They're very, very good player too. Both of them from the East Fremantle Football Club.
Yes,
south of the river in Perth. Never been as good.
No, come on, Jim. What about, why is your nickname Dogger? Dogger?
It started in the pre-season camp last year when I first got here. It was I had different hair now. I had curly hair that would just flap around when I ran playing, and I think it was Chunker and Melky. Called me Dogger because it's like the King Charles Cavalier.
Chunker and Milky. Who were they?
Nathan Jones and Jake Melsham.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah.
It's his name.
Mate, we can't wait. This is the Melbourne Footy Club are as well placed as they've been for a long, long time. It's going to be a very exciting month.
Go D's. Just
make sure you Uber Eats or whatever it takes to eat properly between now and going to Adelaide.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah.
Well done, mate. Good luck.
See you, Dogger.
Cheers, boys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Bill.
Yes, Jim.
Get it right. Yes, I need to drag these quizzes back up because you drive them under.
Yeah, that's right. That's the idea. I tell you what, two magnificent contestants today.
And we
welcome Dave from Narre Warren. G'day, Dave.
How you going, Billy?
Good. Cat's going to win Friday night there, Davey.
Absolutely. Yes. Retribution time.
All right. I reckon
he'll go well here, Dave.
All right. Yes, please.
And Derek from Seaford. Decker.
How are you, Bill? It's actually Mark. I don't know where they got Derek from, mate.
It's not Decker, you dingbat.
Is it Mark or Derek?
Mark.
Jim, you said
Mark
Derek.
Mark is a West Coast man. How come you are, please, Marcos?
Yeah. Oh, I don't like to talk about it at the moment, but yeah, born and bred in the West.
What part?
Perth, mate, yeah.
No, but where in Scarborough. Perth? Scarborough. Yeah. Justin Langer territory.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yep, Dave. That's it.
Marcos, you'll be screaming your name out too. Decker. Magnificent prizes.
He's got to go with Decker.
All right, Decker.
Right.
Here we go.
For the magnificent prizes, question number one, name three of the four AFL teams playing finals who missed out.
Dave.
Well, Decker was first. Ooh. And you stopped the question dead.
Well, I'm going to guess that. You were about to say missed out last year, so I'm going to go with Melbourne, Essendon, and who else is in the top four? Doggies.
No, Decker.
No.
So, Dave.
So, it's a wide open for you, Dave.
Okay. So, it'd be Melbourne.
Yes, Dave.
Sydney.
Yes, Dave. And that other mob, they haven't played for 2000.
And Essendon.
Yes! Oh, well, he's a Geelong supporter, Jim.
I'm about to say, you've given him way too much time. But fair enough. Righto, one.
Number
nil.
Two, an audio question. Who is this doing the boundary for Triple M?
For Bob Jane Seabass.
Got Decker. Nothing for you, mate.
Get on your...
Decker. Who?
It's got to be Bristles.
No.
Oh, no.
So, Davo, again, wide open for you.
For Bob Jane Seabass.
Got nothing for you, mate.
Got nothing for you.
Dave? Is it Blewett?
Oh, Blewett. Greg, blew it.
I've got nothing for you.
It's your mate.
All right, so not a ring-a-ding-ding as we speak.
No, two zip.
Righto. So
come on, Decker.
Question three.
How many goals does Buddy Franklin need to reach 1,000th?
Decker.
I didn't say words.
Oh, Dick. Yeah, just no, Decker, you got called out, Decker.
We heard your name, so we're giving you a look at it.
Decker.
All right.
Between 7 and 9.
8.
No, Decker! Decker!
Oh, she's a ring-a-ding-ding. 2-1.
You guys are setting this up. Didn't you hear my name?
No,
funnily enough, we didn't, Dave. No.
Oh, jeez.
Imagine if Decker got that wrong. Righto, question four.
All right, here we go.
We'll go to five because it's a Geelong one and Dave might get it. So number five, what coach went bunter on the weekend and threw his headphones off his head?
Dave.
Was it Decker?
You're not hearing me.
Yeah, right. Chris Scott.
No!
Dave! Who was
that
it?
That would be Fagan.
What's his first name?
Decker. Chris.
Oh, Deck's trying to jump back in. All right, Deck, what is it?
Chris.
Oh! 2-1.
So Decker's come from nowhere.
He's a ding-ding. He's come from nowhere, Decker.
You guys are ignoring me. You're trying to make a contest out of nothing.
All right. Here we go, Dave.
Jim, I think you're doing a good job of it.
Dave's on to us.
I think you're doing a good job of it, he reckons.
All right. Here we go.
Righto, here we go.
Here's the decider, 2-2.
You better get this one, Dave.
Here we go.
Okay.
Who plays his 300th game this weekend?
Decker.
Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Oh, Decker was first.
Tom Hawkins.
No, we had to give Dave a look at it.
Yeah, but
because we did strip him of a couple.
We're trying to drop off Decker and then he come good.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. You know it's time to call it when your mate thinks he's a comedian.
Very, very funny.
This is Billy's joke on the Rush Hour Sunday session.
Karl Marx, Jim. Do you know who Karl Marx is?
Karl Marx.
Yeah. Well, he was a famous philosopher.
I'm not sure he was a philosopher.
Yes, he was.
Oh, no, I see.
He was a historian.
Oh, that's more like it. Yep.
A philosopher, a journalist. Jim, he done everything.
Yes.
And was very, very famous. But no one ever mentions his sister, Anya.
Oh, no.
She invented the starting pistol. Anya Marx.
It's so shit that it's actually funny. How is that a joke, though? That's like, that's just you being an idiot.
No, yes.
It is.
No. Anya. Anya Marks.
That's it.
Anya Marks.
That's her sister.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Or
wait, what else?
Cousin.
Cousin what?
Skid.
Or
bottoms up. That was the Rush Hour Sunday session. And if you still want more, catch the boys live or on demand on the Listener app.
I feel good.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and 50K cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.